So hi, Welcome to Good Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with...
I'm Brandon from Home Is Where.
And we're asking some questions here about the upcoming album, The Wailer. So congrats on that. By the way, how do you feel about the response, the announcement so far?
It's not... I don't know. It seems pretty good. I haven't seen very much about it yet, but I hope people like it.
Yeah, it's exciting. We're talking to you 4 hours before it comes out.
Is it only four hours?
My goodness.
Are you feeling nervous? Are you feeling excited? What are you feeling?
I'm ready for LP3.
God damn.
I'm ready for LP. I'm over it. I'm done with LP2. It's done. We're already in a new era.
Yeah, you're like, we don't even have to tour this one. We got LP3 on the back burner. Let's do it.
Yeah, pretty much. But we've always kind of operated like that, where as soon as we're done recording whatever we're working on, we're immediately on the next thing. So that's kind of just kind of how we operate.
Oh, yeah. So because you're kind of in that rotation of once this is done, we're over it, we move on to the next thing. Do you ever kind of have a chance to like soak in like, shit, we did it, we're done, people are enjoying it? Or do you just kind of like completely move past it?
Well, that was the pandemic. That was the whole pandemic. That's all we could do. You know, it still doesn't feel real. Like, it doesn't feel like it happened because it all happened like through like a screen. So I don't know. It doesn't. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm probably not enjoying it as much as I should, or like relishing it as much as I should. I'm like a workaholic.
It's so crazy finally getting to chat with you. I mean, what, it's been 2 years? I became Birds, and just so much has fucking changed. I mean, when we spoke, you guys were on Knife Punch, now you're on Wax Bodega. Yeah. What the fuck? I mean, we had to set this up with actual PR. The trajectory of the band is just fucking wild over the last couple of years.
It's so, because that's what like with all doing it, like everything basically by myself, like and like with the band members like helping me with what they could and stuff, but ultimately like a lot of it falling on me, which is fine. I'm not complaining about that aspect, but it's like a lot to handle. So having like, you know, people helping me out is like doing like really like, I don't know, it feels really helpful. And I don't feel like there's so many things like in my head.
That's good.
There's more room for cobwebs now.
That's great. You know, head empty.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, and y'all, it's crazy to see how y'all rose up too since the last time we talked. I mean, you've talked to some crazy people and I'm like, whoa. That's awesome.
I appreciate it. I mean, it's great, like we have both really, you know, kind of blossomed since the last time we've spoken. It's great to reconnect now where we're both at, you know.
Well, now that we're both big deals, mad money.
Bro, finally got the AdSense, absolutely rolling in it. Let me tell you. Oh, I'm ready to quit my job about tomorrow.
Lucky.
this is where the money's at. 1,000 subscribers and a little bit of AdSense on YouTube. That's where it's at.
y'all are baking. Y'all are interviewing the Wiggles. Y'all are living the life.
Of course,
people out here seething with jealousy. Just in the streets, just foaming at the mouth. Yeah. Like,
exactly. I can't even go to shows anymore because they're like, "Oh, you're that bitch from Good Noise Podcast."
Do a lot of people come up to you at shows now? Has it been? Because I've known it's a little different for me going to shows now. So how is it with y'all now?
Genuinely, I've had maybe since like the podcast has started, maybe like 3 people that I didn't know come up to me at shows. Like, have you interviewed people? And I'm like, maybe.
Getting interviewed.
it's actually a little scary. I don't know.
The turntables.
Yeah, it's only the the smaller, like, not so much DIY, but like localish kind of shows that I go to, because I also manage bands, so like I'm around some like smaller shows and whatnot, and those are the shows where people come up to me. But you know, the bit like walking in to go see Paramore, no one's like, oh my god, you interviewed the Wiggles. Like, that doesn't fucking happen.
Billy Williams just shouts y'all out. Yeah.
God,
that's next. Yeah. That's the next guest.
Dude, yeah, that's actually why we have a hard end at 8:30 on this one, because Hayley Williams is already in the waiting room.
She is. Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I got two redheads.
So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art? Oh. Next question. All right, call Shane.
Would you like to elaborate on that at all, or
no? Yeah, no, it means a lot of things. To find out more, purchase the album, you know, link here. No, I don't know. It's a lyric in two songs. And we always do that thing where we have a lyric be the album title. But also it was like, I don't know, it means a lot of different things to me. But basically it's like reaping what you sow, being careful, how to cope with like desire, and like if what you really want is what you really want, or if you're like just want to want kind of thing, you know, it's all just a bunch of bullshit.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Fucking love it.
All right. So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for this album?
Why?
Because we're curious.
I'm sorry.
You're gonna have comebacks for every single one of the questions we have tonight.
It's gonna be the hardest interview ever.
The writing this one, I mean, it was different because with our last record, Birds, the thing I became, it was it took a long time to write that record. Took like almost 10 years, probably closer to 9. I don't remember anymore. But you know, it took a really long time, and for this one, it was written over the course of like 2 years, and it never really felt done. Like we went into the studio with songs like not incomplete. I guess they were kind of technically incomplete, but we knew we were going to utilize like studio like magic stuff to like fill out the space or something like that. So it would sound weird in the garage when we would play together. But then once we finally started, like, we're in the studio and realized what we were able to do and what we weren't able to do, you know, figured like a lot of trial and error with different sounds and things like that. So we basically wrote the record up until, it was done being recorded. Yeah.
Okay. So like you mentioned kind of going into the studio with this one, not having it 100% fleshed out. Was there any sort of like anxiety going into that? Because obviously last record, wrote it for 10 years. I would have to assume, and I'm sure we talked about it, that like it was pretty much done when it was time to be recorded.
Yeah, it was for sure. There was nothing that wasn't, you know, the only thing we had to work on were like horn arrangements, but we already kind of had those written either on like harmonica or on guitar for the other person. For Wes Meadows to play, and then here, and thankfully, like Jack was like on board with it because he wanted to. Once he understood what we were trying to like go for, once we explained it to him, he was really on board and got really excited about different ideas and different possibilities. Like it was like on one of the songs, there's a the outro to it is us. Is a field recording of us in like a smash room, like we were just breaking like a ton of shit. Mm-hmm. And that was like a really last minute like idea. There was like a lot of last minute lyric changes too, and a complete and like different, you know, different stuff. Like it felt strange at first, but like going into it, but once we started performing it and once it's like it came together really quickly. There wasn't really any kind of anxiety about whether it sounded cool or not to us. It was like, yeah, this works.
And does the album, like, it feels finished for you now?
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, it couldn't have, I don't think it really could have been finished until we were in the studio, no matter how, unless we, you know, had like basically like a pocket orchestra in Joe's garage at the same time. Good. Have y'all heard did our team
when we were talking Tuesday night about, you know, rescheduling this, I was just like, yes, I let your team know, like I knew you were cracking up on the other end.
That shit's so silly.
Jack and Hector, they sent it over and we gave it a spin.
Give it a little spin.
The album is awesome.
It does rock.
Yeah, so you like, thank you. So you hear that there's like a lot of shit going on, and there's like, there's no way we could have just, and especially because like we all live in like kind of different places now. So it's like, it's way harder for us to get together, like just the four of us. Like I couldn't imagine like trying to like find somebody to play like pedal steel, like come over to Joe's house. So, and not even be on the record, you know, just like help us figure out like certain arrangements, cause there's no way we could like fly them out, you know, like, you know, we don't have, you know, Phoebe Bridgers money or anything like that, but like, Wax Bodega did really help us out with like everything, like really made this album like possible, and I'm really, really appreciative. What was the question? I had to do the obligatory you know, label kiss on the hand. Did I answer your question?
You answered the question
in the beginning. You did,
But my I got two things. One, what do you mean? You guys have so many monthly listeners. You don't have Phoebe Bridgers money. Number two, when we're talking about bringing this into a live setting, like how are you guys going to envision that? Will it be backing tracks? Have you fleshed out the songs in a certain way?
Nope.
Cool. Tours in less than a month.
We're not even going to play them. We're playing LP3 songs on this tour.
Oh, God damn it.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. We might, it's probably just going to be the four of us, you know, just fucking jamming, you know, just feeling it out, having a good time, you know, not even like, yeah, just jams, not even songs. We're just going to jam. And, that's it. We're not going to talk the entire time either.
The fans will eat that shit right up.
We're going to have our backs to the crowd. I'm going to sit down the whole time.
What is it? You're just describing a Tool concert now.
Well, I'm also going to be eating like a cake, like just a full blown wedding cake on stage.
That's going to get a lot every night, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
No, I would really like to have like local people. Like maybe we'll like send out like a tweet, like any trumpet players, any pedal steel players in this area want to come, you know, play with us tonight or something. And if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, you know, it's just, I always like to hear certain things in different contexts. Like that's one of the things I really like about like modern Bob Dylan, especially, is that he'll play all the old songs from like the 60s and the 70s and stuff, but like completely rearrange them. So they have like, I don't know, just like a new context. And that's something that we're kind of playing around with. Like, I really want to rewrite for a live context, like different like passages from old stuff, like from Our Mouths to Smile, or like more of the spacey sample parts of this record. Maybe do something on stage with you know, just the four of us, like just do something different.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay. You sound disappointed. You're like, all right.
I'm out of follow-up questions. It's time to move on to the next one.
Fantastic. I love it. Let's just gun it out. Let's do this.
Yeah. So what song off this album took the longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
Lily Pad Pupils took fucking forever to write, the second track on this record. God, that song's fucking asshole song. I hate that song. No, I love that song. The song's good. But when we wrote it like a year ago, and we were playing it, and I just, somebody sent me a video of us on the Laura Jane Grace Anthony Green and the Tim Casher tour that we did. Mm-hmm. And somebody sent us a video asking what the song was, and it's Lily Pad Pupils, but it's like a completely different song now. That was just funny to remember, like how it started with like a really simple riff and then became like a 6 minute weird odyssey kind of thing. And then my favorite song on the record's been changing around a little bit. Right now I'm really feeling Chris Farley. But I think as far as where our headspace is at, like where we're like, because I feel like a lot of records always have like a song on them that like kind of teases what the next sound is or whatever for a lot of artists. I feel like Daytona 500 is probably like the peak into where we're gonna explore more that kind of thing.
Okay, sounds
Okay.
interesting. So how'd the track list of the album come about? Did you guys write the opener, be the opener, close, be a closer, shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
Yeah, we so it's the same process with it because I write the lyrics first, and then once I feel like the lyrics are done, I bring it to Tilly, and then we write the songs together, just like acoustic and maybe a harmonica if we can figure it out, if it's melodic enough or fleshed out enough. But yeah, everything's written to be where it is on the record. On purpose. That's how every record is for us. I don't write like songs and then just we see how they fit. They're written deliberately to be where they are.
I would just like to say that the fucking album flows so well. Like, honestly, one of the best flowing records I've heard in a minute. It's just,
Thanks.
it kind of feels like I just put on one continuous song
Yeah.
because they just, like, were the songs written that way or did you kind of add the interludes in after the fact?
No, they were they well yeah, we had to write them after, but we knew there were supposed to be transitions. Like that was like the whole thing. 'Cause if I don't know if you caught it, but if you keep the album on a loop, like on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, there's no stop. It's a perfect sync. It doesn't end. And that has a lot to do with like the themes on the record about like it, being the about somebody stuck in like a degrading time loop. And yeah, that was super intentional. The ideas for it came about kind of last minute. Like for some stuff we knew that like Skin Meadow into Lily Pad, it was gonna f we wanted it to feel like you were like caught in like a building falling down, like you're like caught in like the debris of that or whatever. Like it just sounds like we're dropping stuff all the time on the record. And then but like for like the Jingle Bells from the second to last track into the last track, like that was just like, well, let's see if it works, and if it doesn't, we'll do something else. But we had like a lot of fun doing the Jingle Bells, and we kept it in. So, yeah, some of it was definitely like it was on paper, but a lot of it was just kind of like last minute, studio, but like just fucking
Makes sense. Didn't listen to the album on
around.
a perfect loop, but God, do I love when records do that. So I'm gonna have to give
Yep.
another spin on the
Yep.
perfect loop.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So, would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record?
I don't know. It wasn't in a good place. I don't want to get too into it, but it was yeah, I wasn't having a good time. And that's where a lot of the yeah, okay, it got pretty rough for a little while. And that's where this a lot of this came from.
All right.
I
Like
hope
a
you're doing better now. I hope you're in a better
I,
headspace
it, this is the only interview where I fucking say all right and
now, Shane.
just start cracking up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm depressed. I had a really rough t All right.
All
So anyway,
right.
I hope you're doing better now.
Yeah, thank
And
you.
of course,
Yeah, I hope you're doing better, Brandon.
Shane.
All right.
Time is over. You're done.
So, how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should you do it in the car with friends and dark with headphones on? Is it a workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
I honestly recommend on vinyl,
Right.
because we recorded it analog, and not to be this bitch, I don't really notice it that often, but when I put this record on the t turntable versus when I was listening to it in like Dropbox, it was like I don't know, it felt so much more full and like alive, and like I'm like trying really hard not to say organic, but I'm gonna say it sounded organic. I don't think this is like a hanging out with friends record like at all. I think if this is, then God bless, you have a weird, you might be the Unabomber, but
Oh,
like oh, rest in
just
peace.
died.
Yeah.
Damn.
But like I don't know, like I feel like there's like some songs on there that I feel like would be good for like a hanging out with friends like playlist, but as far as like a whole record, like I don't know, it's like you know, like sometimes there's like you watch like a good movie, but that doesn't mean it's like gonna be a movie night movie, because it's just gonna fuck up your day a little bit, you know?
That makes sense.
Gotta
So I
fuck
guess
up the hangout
in
sesh.
yeah,
Yeah.
fuck up the vibe just a
Yeah.
little
Yeah,
bit.
a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit. All right. So this one should be super, super quick. Off the top of your head, I want you to describe this album for new listeners in 3 words, no more, no less.
Boy, 9/11.
That's two.
Boy, nine. Is it so? Oh, does
Oh,
9/11 count as a phrase or is it a
nine. So
two
nine.
words?
It's usually just 9/11. Are you saying,
Ah,
okay, so are
okay.
you doing the date or like the word nine and then 11?
I'm seeing it words in my head.
Okay, I was
Nine dash
seeing, okay.
nine hyphen 11.
Oh, well, then that just makes it one. So take the hyphen
Wait, oh,
out.
yeah.
Take that
There's way
out.
too much confusion with this.
Yeah.
Boy 9/11.
Why 9/11? Okay.
I did
Yeah.
see you tweeting about that today. And I didn't know if that was like serious or not. So I guess we're just gonna roll with it.
It's 100% serious and very earnest. Yeah, it's what it's a big part of the record. It's 9/11.
Okay.
Makes sense. So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
No, I don't. I really try to. We all like we try to make the music and the lyrics totally up for interpretation. Like I don't want to tell you that this is the sad song. I don't want to tell you that this is the one you get angry to or mosh to or whatever. I want you to figure that out, kind of thing.
Hell yeah. Fucking love when we're to say that, right? So are you able to talk about any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this album, positive or negative?
I mean, fuck, I don't know. There's so much. It's like 2 years of life into it. So there's a lot in there, and not a lot at the same time. It was what was the question?
Just standout moments from the creation of the album, positive or negative?
Had a really good time with Dan Pott, who plays a lot with Jeff Rosenstock. And he did the pedal steel on the record, and it was just a treat to talk to him and like hang out with him and just watch him play pedal steel, because he's not like a like the pedal steel guy kind of, he's just good at it, you know. But it was just really fun to watch him like play and like talk about music and stuff, and he was just really nice. And just working with Jack Shirley too was like fucking like crazy, because Jack, like 10 years ago, you know, Sunbather came out, and like that's why we made the record with him, is because that's probably why I'm like doing a lot of what I'm doing, honestly, is because that
Oh.
record came out and just like clicked something in my head. I really liked working with Jack Shirley. Something I didn't like though was we were staying in like a really shitty Airbnb where these people kept cooking really weird smelling meats at like 3 in the morning. I think they were like European or something, because like it'd be dead quiet in the daytime, but at nighttime they'd be having like weird little cocktail parties in the Airbnb and like cooking this weird ass meat. And it's like, if you're here from Europe, like why aren't you going out and like doing stuff? You know, you obviously have a budget for strange meats. Why not just go to like a club or you know, like a nice restaurant or something? Why the fuck are you sleeping all day in this Airbnb that's full of ants and all
Oh.
kinds of critters? We thought we saw like a creature once, like all of us had a different encounter with a creature that was like in the backyard of this place, and we all like I don't think Tilly had any, but me, Joe, and Connor kept like, Connor saw it twice, me and Joe just once. So when I see kept seeing, it's not like kept seeing, but there's something out there. You know, have you ever seen have you ever seen Lady in the Water, the M. Night Shyamalan movie?
I have not.
It's fucking terrible, but there's like these little dogs made out of grass in that movie, and that's kind of what it looked like. It looked like a weregrass dog. It was so weird.
A lot of
And it really
things.
freaked us out.
Well, I'm glad that you got the full circle moment with Jack. But it feels like bands make some of their best records when they have the most fucked up like living experience outside of the album. Because we've had a lot of conversations with bands mm-hmm. about great albums where they're mm-hmm. like, but let me tell you about what happened outside the of the
Airbnb.
Record. Like,
Yeah, no, that was definitely true. We after a certain point, like we were like begging Jack to like for us to just hang out in the studio. Like just because we really just like we didn't want to go back to the Airbnb until we were certain that we would just fall asleep, you know, because it was pretty run down. It was in a it was just like, you know, we're all really far from home, and like I don't think any of us had ever been to like Oakland area before, so it was like it was pretty different than what we're used to, like just like it was more like a city environment than I was expecting. I was expecting it to be a little bit more like kind of like towny, mm-hmm. but it's a city, you know. And you know, I had a good time, and I had a strange time. I wouldn't say I had a bad time. I would like to thank Jack for letting us basically just like live with him for a week.
Shout out Jack.
Shout out Jack.
So for this question, I want you to picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack of choice?
I'm probably gonna steal a bag of chips. I'm probably gonna go for a bag of chips. Probably if it's an off day, if I don't eat chips on a show night. Because I'm a fucking diva, and yeah, probably like a classic, like kettle cooked Cape Cod bullshit,
or some
salt and vinegar crap. Mm-hmm. I might go for some. I don't know. I'm not really like. I like cookies. I might get a cookie, like chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. What about what's y'all's? What are you getting?
I'm going for the chips no matter what.
Mm-hmm. What flavor?
Dill pickle, Lay's if they have them. If not, salt and vinegar is fine. Mm-hmm. The purple Dorito bags, those smack as well. During the Christmas season, I go for the Sprite Cranberry. During the summer season, I go for the Baja Blast.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And other than that, I stay away from that shit.
Very classy. I like it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I somewhat recently learned about Popcorners from Ricky Armolino. He told me about
them. What
are
those?
They're like fucking like it's popcorn, but like popped into the shape of like a Dorito. And it's like it's the awesome. Best thing ever. It is genuinely like the best texture ever, and the flavors are fucking amazing. You need to get some like the kettle corn flavor. That's my that's my favorite. The white cheddar version. It's like okay, but like the kettle corn. Damn, it's beautiful. Yeah. And
I would like to add on, Hershey's recently started doing plant based Reese's cups.
He was telling me about these earlier.
I had them once. Fucking hooked now. After this interview, I'm going to go to Rite Aid. I have an online order to pick up 6 packs of them. I'm fucking stoked. I'm indulging tonight.
What does plant-based Hershey's even mean? What's in it?
No milk.
Mm-hmm. No milk.
Oh, okay.
I'm vegan, so now I finally get to eat
them. God bless. I was vegan for a minute. It was fun. I don't know. Once I moved, because I was living in a city, that's why I was vegan, because it was just easier. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, I can do it now without worrying. And I'm just so, I moved out of the city. I'm so lazy. I'm going to go back to it at some point, but out here, it's a little different. It's a little expensive to maintain that lifestyle. But one day I'll get back on the horse. Or should I say get off the horse, because I won't be exploiting any animals.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'll be petting the horse.
Exactly. Fuck yeah. Okay. So on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
Cannolis.
Okay.
I like cannolis.
All right. That's all it needs to, that's the excuse is good enough.
Yep.
Reasoning is perfect.
So
what would you be? What would the Good Noise Podcast be?
We haven't gotten this one. Oh, it has to be vegan. Okay. Sorry.
The disappointment in your eyes.
That wasn't a diss. That was just, that was realization. That was, it can't be like fucking Give me
can't be
what
meal.
A fucking spaghetti, bro.
Can we have like the veggie meatballs? I do like those. I like the
sure.
bacon meatballs. Okay, I'm
only
okay
if
with
they're from
spaghetti.
IKEA.
I've never had that before.
I haven't
I've only
either.
had the Aldi brand. So then why are you fucking vouching for fucking IKEA?
I heard they kind of taste like tires. I don't know.
Dude, those are the actual meatballs. Like, those are made of meat. Those are meatballs, brother.
No. They have the veggie ones. They have vegan shit at the IKEA snack bar, too. I watched
Keith
eat the menu.
How about you try that? Actually, wait, now that I'm thinking, I don't like the vegetarian meatballs. I take that back. I don't like them.
This is terrible. This is terrible. We're
let's
vegan.
Just give...
We're meatballs.
Lasagna. We're lasagna.
I'm fine. We can be lasagna.
We're
That's
lasagna.
Good. With vegan yeah, meatballs buzz. On the side.
Take those fucking meatballs off! Get that shit out of here. I hate that shit.
So for this last question, we're going to shift away from music. We're going to put the band in a horror movie. Who's dying first? Who's surviving until the end?
I think Tilly's dying first. I'm so sorry, Tilly. I'm so sorry. Who's surviving? Just based on like just sheer like it's like almost like how like Mr. Magoo like doesn't fall downstairs, you know, like even though I don't know how do you know who Mr. Magoo I barely know who Mr. Magoo
I've
is
I've heard
you know?
Of I've heard of Mr. Magoo
I don't know. Yeah, that one's for the boomers in the audience. Can you remember
all
Mr. Magoo? I would want to put my money on Connor making it to the end, but it's Joe. It's definitely Joe, like mm-hmm. making it to the very end.
Yeah,
Joe's got a wife. He's got he's got a reason to live, to keep going. He's got something to fight for.
Yeah,
we have nothing.
He's got his shit figured out. He has to live.
He really has his shit figured out. Yeah, I would make it a little while.
Okay.
I've seen enough horror movies. I think I'd make it a little bit, but then I would sacrifice myself heroically for Joe.
Of course.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
because
you're the comic relief character, so you have to live right
so
up until
I'm the token trans character, number one. Because Tilly's dead, so she's gone.
Fuck!
Yeah.
So, right out the gate.
Right out the gate, yeah. I feel like yeah. But I'm sorry, Tilly. I'm so sorry, but you know it's true. She's got to know deep down.
So as I said, that's all the questions you have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
We have a fucking album out. It's called The Wailer. It's out everywhere that you're there's music. We're going on tour in July and in September. We're going on tour with Smidley. You hear about this? You know about this guy? Smidley, he's the guy from Foxing. Foxing's the band with the song Rory, you know, from 10 fucking years ago. They're a good
band. The band with the song.
They're a good band. Fuck, what else? September, it's Your Arms Are My Cocoon. And this little fucking weirdo. And Awake But Still in Bed. Plus we got so many good locals opening for us. Are you fucking kidding me? We got shit you can buy, you know.
Where can you buy it?
I don't know. Google Home is where.
Fuck.
I don't fucking know. I'm sorry. You know, ask my team. Hit up my team.
There you go. There you go.
Get the team
in
here.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. I don't know. We got other stuff. We got LP3 coming sometime. It's written. Yeah. Fuck you.
Fuck.
I don't know.
And
what do you have to plug? Now it's your turn to plug.
I'm gonna plug. All right. Next time, I will make sure that I don't say "all right" after every question, just for you, Brandon. I got you.
All right.
That's what I have to plug.
That's all the questions we have for you today.
Thank you. That was fun.
This has been.
Yeah.
Thank you for sitting down with us.
I forgot where we were even going with this.
It's okay.
Well, thank you for sitting down. This has been Brandon from Home Is Where, and we have been the Good
You're
Noise
welcome.
Podcast.